Well, today our topic is three ways to get more done while working less. I suppose the title is a little misleading because I'm not talking about adding a lot more tasks to your already busy schedule. I'm really going to talk about being more effective in the activities you choose. The first and most important technique of this teleseminar I learned from a gentleman I used to work with at Boeing. He was a director and was just outside the executive suite on the way to the men's room. My office was there. I had some toys in my office, and he would occasionally stop in and play with my toys and chat a little bit. We both had a tendency to get in early, so one day I wandered into his office. "Alan," I said, "you impress me with the amount you get done, yet you don't stay late. You have a great family life, and you're in really good shape. How do you accomplish all this?" He held up a piece of paper. Oh, how I wish I could have read what was written on it. And he said, "This is a list of what I want in life. When I get a request, if it doesn't support what's on this list, I turn it down. If I am not in a position to turn it down, I find someone else to do it." Well, Alan Mulally ended up as the president and CEO of Ford Motor Company, the only one who didn't ask for a government bailout. Now, I figure if it worked that well for him, adopt it too. Alan, so here's my take on this. I've even developed a worksheet that will help you with this, and you'll be able to get it later. I'll give you the information on how to do that. So the first thing you do is you list 10 things you want in life. These would be the top 10 most important things, either to maintain or to improve or to bring into your life. For instance, if you have a great relationship with your spouse or partner, and you want to maintain it or even improve it, put that on the list. After all, great relationships still need maintenance. If you want to improve your health or get in better shape, add that. And maybe you'd like to start a business or find your right livelihood. That would be an important item on your list. And don't forget leisure and the activities that you enjoy. In my life, I love to make quilts and to garden. So these two activities are on my list. I suggest limiting it for now to 10 major items. Now, I also have another list, I love lists, of more than 50 things that I want to bring into my life, but these are smaller and a little more detailed. You don't need to make that list right this minute, so I won't put you under that kind of pressure. But as I talk, multitask just a little bit and think about what you might like to put on your list. Now, this list is not those things that you think should be on it. It's not what someone else told you should be on it. This is what you want. A few of the items might even be embarrassing. In fact, if at least one or two of them aren't embarrassing, you're probably not being honest with yourself. After all, you don't need to tell anyone what is on your list. Once you have a list, and you can change it whenever you want, you will need to start monitoring how you are relating to it. This is at first the hardest part of item one. Yes, we're still on item one. So starting tomorrow, or today if you're in Asia, jot down what you're doing every half hour, at least every half hour you're awake. Just a quick note, just one or two words. You're not writing a treatise here. You're just making a reference. If you use the worksheet, you'll see a place to do this. At the end of the day, or even as you go through the day, rate each activity from 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, as to how each activity supports one or more items on your list. If it doesn't support it at all, leave the ranking blank. You can also write the number of the item next to the ranking. So, say one of your items on your list is to get in better physical shape. If you went for a walk during your lunch hour instead of staying in and gossiping with your workmates, that activity might deserve a 10. If, on the other hand, you listed that you wanted to be employed in what I call right livelihood, but instead of spending a few minutes writing out what you want in a job or a business or looking for that job or clients, you called your friend and complained because you hated your job, your boss, and everybody you work with. You should probably leave that activity blank. You might even give it a minus score. After you have the form filled out, you can see very graphically if you're spending your time and activities supporting the life you want to live. As you have no doubt figured out by now, you might be engaged in activities that do not enhance your life or take you in the direction you want to go. Now, this is not to say that you have to spend 18 hours a day rushing around, engaged in activities to the point of exhaustion. Of course not. Myself, I build in plenty of time for goofing off. I like to watch a little TV or read for leisure. If you monitor your activities for a few days, though, you'll be able to see where you can change a few of them, or preferably even eliminate some of them. Now, just a note here. If you have rented yourself to a company, otherwise known as having a real job, many of your daily activities are probably dictated by someone else. And if you're in a job you love with great compensation, that's fabulous. Keep at it. If not, start describing on paper what you want. Some of you have heard this story, but it bears repeating. Many years ago, I was working at a large aerospace manufacturing company in the state of Washington, and it was a great place to work. But I had gotten kind of bored with the current assignment. One thing about a large company is often you can go different places. So I started thinking about, what do I want in a job? My next job. I wanted to stay in the company. I started writing out the qualities and the types of activities and challenges I would like in my next assignment. It was pretty detailed. It was actually 2 pages, single-spaced. I kept it in a side drawer and looked at it whenever I took a little break. About 2 months later, I happened to be in a meeting, and somebody happened to mention that a new department was opening up, and they started describing what they were looking for. And because I had written out what I wanted, because I knew exactly what I wanted, when that person described this new department, I knew immediately that was my job. And strangely enough, when I wrote out the description, this job and this type of job didn't even exist in the company. But I was so tuned into it by now that I knew. And I called the director, and I was rather nervous. Somehow, I said, "Are you looking for an administrator for this program?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "I think you need me." And there was this pregnant pause on the other end of the line. And he said, "Yes, come and talk to me." I ended up getting the job, and later he told me that anybody that had that kind of moxie, that he just knew he had to hire. So I got that dream job for a couple of years, then moved on to other assignments. It was really great. So this is all part of knowing what you want in life and working toward it. My able assistant, Tom, had a similar experience. He was working for the government, not particularly challenged or happy with where he was, but he saw a picture of a scene in Switzerland, took the picture off the wall, and looked at it every day. Within 6 months, he was actually very close to where that picture had been taken, and he spent the next 17 years in Germany, which he loved. So getting a vision of what you want instead of calling up your friend to complain about your boss might be a better activity. The more you do this, the better you're going to get at arranging the activities and people in your life to accommodate what you want. So that's number one. Number two, have the courage to say no. As in my story about Alan Mulally, he was able to say no to many things that did not support his list. You know, somehow in this society, we're conditioned to feel guilty when we say no to a request. It's not always easy, especially when the requester is really good at persuasion. That's why you might want to make several copies of your list to have with you at all times. That way you can refer to it and say no when it's appropriate. When I used to teach traditional time management, I passed out a list of 15 ways to say no. It's not quite 50 ways to leave your lover, though you may wish to do that, but it does help sometimes. It's so easy these days to get pulled in dozens of different ways, so keep your list handy and say no whenever possible. One of my favorite stories I heard from Oprah Winfrey, and she said that, and of course she gets asked to do all sorts of things, and once it was a person that she knew pretty well, and she really did not want to honor the request. It was just something she really couldn't do. So she said, well, give me overnight to pray about it. And the next day she talked to the person, and she said, I talked to Jesus about your request. Jesus said no. I thought that was a great way to say no, so I guess that's number 16. Here's another list you can make that might help you with the no thing. Write down everything you really don't like to do and pick the one you least like. Figure out a way to say no to it. In other words, eliminate it. I can say with certainty that the one chore I disliked the most was mowing the lawn, and especially edging. If you only knew how much I don't like to do that, you would be amazed, especially considering how much I love to garden. Anyway, Tom to the rescue again. He suggested that I have someone else to do it. Well, being one of those I can do it all people, this was difficult for me to grasp at first. It didn't take long, though, for me to give in. Now Mr. Tito keeps my yard looking great and groomed. When I do something like this, I ask Spirit, God, the universe, to provide the funds or the means for it to happen. I have this great belief system, so it always works. I am now thinking of having someone clean my house every so often. I'll let you know how that works out. I'm slowly picking things off my list that I don't want to do and either eliminating or delegating them. And that frees up even more time for me to create an even better life. Number three, the third way to get more done, or at least be more effective, is to guard access to you. Facebook, email, smartphones, or the myriad vampires that suck your time need to be off most of the time, unless it is your job to monitor at all times. I really mean this. Several of my acquaintances I would not recognize by their faces because all I've ever seen is the tops of their heads. They're constantly looking down at their phones. This is an addiction that has cut modern productivity and, frankly, modern satisfaction with life dramatically. A study by a woman named Gloria Mark, who studies digital distraction at the University of California, Irvine, did an extensive study about how many minutes of concentration you lose every time you're interrupted. On the average, it takes 23 minutes and 15 seconds. That's a lot. I limit my Facebook time to 5 to 10 minutes a day. I text mostly grandchildren, only when necessary. I give my cell phone number out in a very stingy manner and then ask people not to use it unless necessary. I look at email only twice a day. I don't answer my business phone after 5 p.m. In fact, I don't publish it very much because I only use it for phone appointments. People often ask me how I get so much done. My response is a little like the one Mr. Mullally gave me when I asked him that question. And now it includes limiting access. So when I am talking to people or when I'm responding to them on email, I can give them my full attention because I'm doing it in a manner that supports my time and my activities. I have a bonus for you. I know what I want, and I focus on it. Because of this, I have a lot of time to play. If you have your list and you focus laser-like on activities that support something on that list for only 10 minutes a day, well, let's do some math. Okay, 10 minutes of time times 365 days equals 3,650 minutes. If we divide that by 60, the number of minutes in an hour, you get 60 hours. What could you do in 60 hours? If you carve out 10 minutes or even 20 minutes a day, you could change your life. You need to eliminate only one small activity and change your focus during that 10 minutes. Look at the time vampires surrounding you during your day and evening. The more of these you eliminate, the more time you have to create and focus on the life of your dreams. So a laser-like focus for just a few minutes a day will buy you a better life. You're in charge of you. No one else is. So don't tell me you don't have time to make progress. There will always be those who want to use your time and suck you dry with endless, got a minute? Endless pings on your email can divert your attention. So how many interruptions do you have that you allow per day that maybe take 30 seconds to check but cost you 25 minutes in concentration? So focus when you have 10 minutes. Limit your access. And know exactly what you want. I'm going to include in my notification about how to replay this the form that I mentioned earlier. If you'd like it earlier, send me an email and I'll send it right out to you. I'm going to open up the phone lines now for comments and questions. Let me know something that you would like to eliminate from your life. Or ask me a question if you're confused or you just want to know how to do something. So press *6 to unmute yourself. If it doesn't work, press *6 again. So, Paige, what are you going to eliminate?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
I don't know. I'm still thinking about that right now.
You've been eliminating quite a bit lately.
I know. I mean, I really have. So I don't know if I'm the best person to ask right now. I'll share with one thing I have eliminated is I eliminated toxic people out of my life. And that's been huge.
That is, and your life's opening up as a result, isn't it?
Yes. Much more time for other things.
Yeah, yeah. So good for you. Good for you. So, Judy, how about you? Just press *6. Nope, we're not getting Judy here. So So anybody else?
Yes, I have a question, Pam.
Yeah, who's this?
Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Yeah.
Hi. Quick question. How do you stay kind of keep at it when you don't see what you're trying to make or have happen when it's not happening, you know, as soon as we would like it to, when we start to get discouraged and maybe don't participate or focus on it as much, and then before we know it, you know, 6 months have gone by and we're still not any closer to that goal or that dream or that vision.
So you've been watching me. One thing that I do, and it is easy to get discouraged when we don't see anything happening in the outer, is that every morning I spend a few minutes asking for guidance about something I can do to further that which I want into my life. You know, maybe pick something on that list, or if there's something that you really want, or say you want to bring more abundance or a relationship or something else into your life, I'll ask for guidance about what I can do that day. And it might just be a little thing, but if I just sit quietly, I will often get an idea about some small thing to do. Or another way to do that is just before you fall asleep, focus on the item that you want and say, I know what to do next as you're falling asleep. And it's amazing that if you kind of persist in this, it's amazing the ideas you get and the things that happen. So try that for a while.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of books and recordings, and I will say that probably every day I'm listening to recordings, I'm reading books, and really keeping my mind where it should be. Because in this world, a lot of people just don't believe that they can have what they want. And it is easy sometimes for that, what I call the third voice, that outside voice to come in and start making you doubt. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important to stay focused on what's possible. So find an author that you like or a recordings that you like and start building your library.
Pam?
Yeah.
Oh, this is Nina. Hey.
Hi, Nina.
Hi. So I'm thinking about eliminating my job. Because,
good for you.
Well, because my hours are getting cut back, and they say they don't have enough hours, you know, for everybody, and it's just kind of not working for me anymore, and I kind of had this fear of letting it go, but the last day or two, I've been thinking maybe this is like a big hint from spirit. Just let it go and see what comes in.
Yeah, you should talk to Paige about letting things go. You know, Charles Fillmore, who founded Unity, had a term called chemicalization.
Uh-huh.
And what that means is lots of times when you start focusing or taking steps toward what you want,
uh-huh.
it almost feels like things are falling apart.
Uh-huh.
But what's happening is they're starting to fall together, and the mm-hmm. universe is rearranging itself so that you can have what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to take those steps sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. I'm kind of thinking that maybe you're getting a few hints here.
Well, that's what I've been kind of thinking.
Yeah, I know in my world, one of my little sayings is, if I don't take the hint, I get the kick.
Yeah, I know that one. Ouch.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm afraid there have been times when my behind has been very sore from all those kicks.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Hey,
right.
Ben. It's Tina.
Yeah.
Hey, Ben. It's Tina.
Hi.
Hey. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Good. Well, I want to thank you for being a great resource for so many of us, and I am one of those people.
Good. It's good to hear you.
Yeah, thank you. And I have been working on this process for a while, illuminating so many things. And actually, I have, you know, I have been feeling lighter, and I just love it.
Oh, great. Oh, great.
Yes.
I'm glad to hear it.
It's helping a lot.
Good, good. Yeah, Tina and I have been working a little bit together, and she's just doing great things. So
yes,
good for you,
yeah.
Tina.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, anybody else? Okay, well, I want to thank you all for joining me today, and it's been a good session. I will let you know when the replay is available. It should be just a day or two. So,
thank you.
Go in peace. Blessings to all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pam.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.